Hi, my name is Niamh Murphy. I'm the director with the Dublin Live Art Festival. First question is, a huge surge in interest and production of live performance art in Ireland today. I think we've always been good at live art here in Ireland. I think it comes from the fact we're very expressive people. And I also think Irish people love a story. And I think performance art connects to those stories, both the stories that are told and the stories that we form for ourselves while viewing and experiencing live art, and how those stories compare to our stories, I suppose. And I really do think that Irish people and Irish performance artists are producing some of the best work being produced in the contemporary live art field at the moment, and have been for many years. I think for such a small little island, we are we're very blessed with the quality of live art being produced in this country by live artists. I do see a trajectory from the works done in the 70s and 80s by Alistair MacLennan, Nigel Rolfe, Alan O'Kelly, etc. Of course, we can't have a present without the past, and we can't create work without, nothing is new in this world, I suppose. Everything has been done before, and I suppose that in the 21st century, it's a very, very different world in 2017 than it was in the 70s and 80s, both politically and socially and culturally, of course. And I think that everything has its time and place, of course. And I think that the work being made today, contemporary work being made here in Ireland and by Irish artists abroad, is responding, of course, to our present situation, as I said, politically and culturally. I think we live in a very, very different world to the one that we lived in the 80s, especially in Ireland. I mean, economically, we may be closer to what we were experiencing in the 80s with the decline after the boom, of course. But I think that with the advances within how we communicate with each other, social networks, how information is shared, and how life is experienced, that, of course, it's very, very different work. And I think that the work today, live art, has a tendency perhaps more to cross over into other art forms, including dance and theatre. And I think that the lines have always been blurred about where does live art begin and end. But I think even more so now, there's far more cross-pollination. It's not that the work is less pure, but it's definitely more influenced by other spheres beyond what live art can be, I suppose. I think you can't compare 30 years ago. It's a different generation. I mean, my son is 21 this year, and he has led such a different life, being raised. You know, he was born in 1996. I was born in 1976, and it's worlds apart. 20 years is worlds apart. And I think that although we should be respectful towards the work that has been made in the past, we should also not, we should look to it for, as I said, for inspiration. But I think that we shouldn't spend too much time thinking about the past. And I think that's what's great about this generation, the present generation, as I said, our children's generation, is that they seem to live far more within the future, and they seem to be striving far more towards something than I think sometimes we can get caught up too much in the past. But I think it's important that we keep moving towards the future. For last year's Easter Rising Centenary, myself and Anya Phillips curated Future Histories. We presented that documentation in London last month at a live art development agency event, showing both our own documentation from Future Histories and also Fergus O'Cohir's documentation from his project, which was also part of the same Arts Council series of events in 2016, celebrating the centenary of the 1916 Rising. The project itself, Future Histories, involved 16 artists presenting work over a 12-year period, or 12, sorry, excuse me, 12-hour period in Kilmainham Jail. Kilmainham Jail is, I suppose, it really is a touchstone to connect us with 1916 and the events that happened during the Easter Rising and the fallout and results of that, I suppose. And really, that was, I suppose, the beginning of the formation of our republic and our nation as we know it now in 2017. It was quite amazing. I mean, I had previously curated an event in 2010, right here, right now, with Amanda Coogan and Dominic Thorpe in Kilmainham Jail. And it's such an extraordinary building. It really, really is. And you can sense the gravitas and the history being held within the space and within the walls. And I think that we were very conscious, and the artists were very conscious about the responsibility that we bore being in such an almost sacred place, I suppose, to nationalism and to, as I said, what created the formation of our republic. I suppose it was when you put artists into such a charged environment like Kilmainham Jail. It really brings out, I think, the best in people because, as I said, you know, we were very conscious as curators, and I know that our artists were very conscious as well of the fact that the events that had actually happened in Kilmainham Jail, which include the 14 executions of the leaders of the 1916 Easter Rising, following the rising, that we needed to be. We need to be cognizant of being respectful and also trying to bring perhaps the messages and the ethos of the people of 1916 into our contemporary world. And I suppose to shine a light on this very, very complicated and complex history, and to view this history through this contemporary lens and to see if there was a way of us presenting new ideas about this history. We were very aware also as well that there were so many events and so many commemorations and celebrations of the events of 1916 that we really wanted to kind of come at it from a different angle. It's not a reenactment. It's a representation of ideas around what had happened, as I said, brought into our contemporary world and the world that we live in. And a lot of the work that was created, I suppose, compared present day events and situations and issues with, I suppose, the hope that the hope and the belief and you know, 100 years ago, so many things were happening at the same time. You had the trade unions and the formation of the trade unions, women, of course, trying to get the vote and achieve suffrage, and also nationalism. So I suppose it was the hope and the looking to the future that was happening in 1916, that we were trying to also, I suppose, look to the future and see how we can use art as a, and especially live art and embodied art, as a way to process this history that's so complicated and so complex and present ideas in a new way to allow people to consider and you know, interact and maybe, as I said, you know, come at it from a different way and a less with less parameters, I suppose, and a, you know, a dialogue created between the artists and the audience. We had some wonderful work, really, really wonderful work, and some really strong performances and installations happening during it. And it really was an extraordinary event, and we were very, very proud to be part of it. Last question. Can you briefly describe the project itself and the artists involved? Also, in light of the recent developments in the relations between the EU and the UK over Brexit negotiations that have seen Ireland as one of the main objects of discussions, what do you think the impacts of this situation on both DLAF and Irish artist practices? I suppose the long and short answer to that question is I don't know. I really, really don't. And I really think, there was a huge amount of shock in this country, and there was a huge amount of shock, I know, also within within Great Britain. Friends of mine who are British, and also friends of mine who live over there and who are Irish, and there was a huge amount of shock and hurt and disappointment when that Brexit result came in. I really, really don't. I suppose even economically, we are unsure how this is going to impact on Ireland and our relationship with Britain. And also politically, we are very unsure as to how this is going to impact on Ireland. And the idea of the, you know, that a hard border may go up again between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland is a very frightening idea. And it really does feel like we're going back in time, and we're going back to the age of, you know, the troubles, and it really, really does. It's quite worrying to think that this hard border may go in. And also, I suppose, I know that when we were doing Dublin Live Art Festival last year, one of our artists, Lena Semic, she's a Croatian, and she is living in the UK. Her partner and obviously her three children are British. And I suppose it really, I think when we discussed it, it really is this idea of rejection, I suppose, and that people aren't wanted. And the ethos with Dublin Live Art Festival has always been inclusion and an inclusive ethos, not just around the artists that we have performing within Dublin Live Art Festival, but also for our audience, and to try to create work and present work that isn't specifically for, and I put this in imaginary inverted commas, arts audiences. You know, we've always created a lot of public work, and we've always had consistently really strong and extraordinary support from Dublin people and the people of Dublin and communities, Dublin communities. And we've always had curiosity and interest and support and openness, I suppose. And really the, you know, the result of the US election, Brexit, the rise of right-wing politics all over Europe, it's a closed mind, it's a closing of minds and a closing of borders, I suppose, not just borders physically and nationally, but also, I suppose, borders within people. And this idea of us and them has something that we've always railed against in Dublin Live Art Festival. And I think as Irish people, we've always actually railed against it as well. So I in answer to the question, I suppose, I don't know how it's going to affect Dublin Dublin Live Art Festival and Irish Artist Practices, but I would hope it would encourage artists to become more vocal and more open and more proactive in activism and in speaking out against this closed-mindedness and this rejection of diverse cultures and diverse experiences that can only serve to strengthen our own culture. And you know, that's always been an ethos of us as well, is to bring people to Dublin to perform in Dublin Live Art Festival that may never have had the opportunity to come here. You know, we had Jalili Atiku here last year from Nigeria, and we've had artists from China, and we've had artists from all over Europe, and of course artists from the US and Canada. And you know, it's really that's the real joy, I believe, of live art, is that anybody, irregardless of their background and their culture and their belief system and their education level, can experience and appreciate live art, because it's like music or sport or any cultural pastime, I suppose, that allows people to interact on a very level playing field. And I think that that's what we need to do as a response to all the frightening things that are happening within our world, is to actually try to democratize live art more, and to try to widen our audience bases, and to try to appeal more to people from diverse backgrounds and people from diverse cultures, because I think that that's the only way that we're going to get through this, is to actually, you know, the theme of Dublin Live Art Festival this year is come together and unite. And I suppose that we really need to combat this division by uniting and strengthening ourselves by uniting with maybe with people that we never thought we'd collaborate with, or cultures that we never thought we'd collaborate with. I think that that's really important that we continue to do that. I'm going backwards now. So I am the director of the Dublin Live Art Festival. The history of the festival, its aims, and where I think it's going after its first brilliant years. The history is that basically we started in 2012, and we started as a way to unite the different various groups that were producing and curating live art at the time. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to create an umbrella organisation that would take care of all those horrible things that artists hate doing, and like venue management and all the nuts and bolts, I suppose, of production, ticket sales, promotion, publicity, booking, accommodation, all the horrible things that artists don't enjoy doing, I suppose, and to take those responsibilities away, so that artists and groups producing live art at the time could purely focus on the work that they were making. We have had various different incarnations over the last 6 years. But now at the moment, what we're doing is we would have a mixture, always have a mixture of international and Irish live artists. And we have seminars every year as well, because we really want to grow and invest in the live art community. And this isn't just about showing live art. It's also about, you know, having workshops and seminar events that might be focusing on documentation, or focusing on how do we write about live art, because we really need to, and it's not enough just to put on a live art event for us. What we want to do, and to bring artists here and present their work, what we want to do is we want to support the community, both the international community and the Irish community, and also to create networking opportunities between those two communities. Very, very important. Again, this is this idea of uniting and, you know, the strength in numbers, I suppose. So yeah, where do we think we're going? Again, it's with us. We both myself and Fran, Frances Fay, who is my co-director here at Dublin Live Art Festival. We both work full time, so this is something that we do on a voluntary basis. And you know, it's a lot of it's a huge amount of work, as anybody knows who's curated. And we love what we do, and we hope that we can continue to do it into the future. But at the moment, it's just 1 year at a time. So yeah, we'll get 2017 over with first, and then we'll take it from there. Thanks so much.